All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. Let me just get set up here for one second. I'm so excited to share with you, you know, what God has put in my heart. I've been, you know, praying and asking God to speak clearly to a people that are hungry for His Word. So I know that wherever you are, you know, as you're tuning in, God is going to bless you. Even if you're watching this, you know, delayed later on today, I heard from someone he was going to watch it later tonight because he couldn't do it right now. But that's great. You know, even at that time, I know it's going to bless those people that are tuning in right now to this. Before we get going, I just want to welcome, obviously, our live streaming audience, you know, our Shiloh family, people from the community and from all over the nation and the world that are watching. You know, I know that even my family in Mexico is watching, so I send a shout out to them and I tell them that I love them. But anyway, I'm really excited to announce something today. We're going to begin something called Helping Hands Extended. I don't know how many of you guys know that we've had a Helping Hands ministry. It consists of a food pantry that the Whites Connection Group has been stocking up for years and years and years, blessing the community. Well, I think it's come to a time where we all need to pitch in. So this is a great opportunity for all of us to make this an outreach for you to begin to drop off items that are in need. So what I need you to do is I need you to go to our website and go to the announcements. You're going to find the Helping Hands Extended announcement there, and it's going to tell you all the items on a list that we're requiring, and it's going to be on Wednesdays and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can drop off all these items, and of course, we're going to get the word out to the community so that people can come in and pick up those items as they're needed. You guys understand that many people, you know, have either lost their jobs, have been laid off, or at least have been sent home for the time being, you know, so they have lesser pay, lesser income. They're going through stressful times. And, you know, this is time for us to be the church. Come on, let's be the church for this community by bringing those items that you have in excess or maybe you can go out and purchase. I know that God's going to reward us handsomely, greatly, if we do so at this hour. And by the way, Pastor Jim and Rose are the ones that came up with this idea. And so we thank God for their lives. And then they're the ones that are going to be organizing and administering, you know, this Helping Hands Extended ministry. Amen. We're going to get the word out, like I said, to the community and even to the churches in case they need help with stuff. I also want to encourage all the connection groups. Where are my connection groups? I want to make sure that you guys are meeting regularly. Like, there's so many ways to do it virtually. And this is what I want to recommend to you if you're listening. I know that there's already some of them that are doing it. Use the Zoom app. There's a free app that you can use. It gives you 40 minutes to meet with as many people with a video, or you can do inner audio, you can do a phone in. There's so many ways for people to connect, but like I said, it's free. If you want to pay the paid subscription, it's like $15 per, you know, for a month. So I would say if your connection group wants to pitch in, go ahead and get the paid version. You get 24 hours if you want to meet. You know, but that way you guys can see each other, talk to each other. You can share the screen and see the teaching for that particular day. You can worship together because it's very important that we remain engaged and that we do whatever is needed, you know, to bless the people on us. And I want you to think about not the people you normally connect with, but I want you to think about that person that lives alone. That person that is an introvert, maybe that person that hadn't really connected with the body of Christ, you know, as much as we like to see. And they're out there, you know, wondering what's going to happen. You know, the devil has isolated them and is feeding them lies. They're watching the news and they're bogged down by and overwhelmed by all these things. So we need to go out and reach out to them. So this week we're going to come out with a plan for us to reach out by phone to all the people that are out there. But I want especially to encourage connection groups to do whatever they can to stay in touch with every single person that has attended your connection group. Amen. And if you're watching from another body, get connected. You know, give us a shout out. You know, use social media. Give us a phone call and reach out to somebody in the community. There's many opportunities. Just yesterday, I met two old ladies. You know, one of them is a widow. They live on our street. And she says that, you know, she was scared to even just go to Safeway, one of them. So I offer them, say, hey, if you like, we can pick up items for you. So you don't have to, you know, step out of your house. So she just lives by herself and she has a little dog. So we want to continue to bless people like that. So look around for opportunities. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you to divine appointments for you to minister to people around you as you're looking out. And last thing, I want to encourage all of our children to use the resources that we're posting on the website for you. to use. You know, there's videos, there's links to other ministries, there's materials that you can print out. You know, Lorraine Meyerhoffen, our children's ministry director, even put together a really cool video for your children to worship together and get a lesson today. You can watch it anytime, but it may be later on today if your children haven't done so. Have them do that. You know, one specific resource I like is Cool Water Kids Ministry. It comes out of Victory Worship Center out of Tucson, and they have amazing resources. So go to the Facebook page for Cool Water Kids Ministry. Amen. The rest of it you can find on our Facebook page. Well, having said that, now I want to just have a good time. You know, how many know it's important to laugh? How many know it's important to have a good time? And so the first thing that I want to do is I want to show you some memes, as we always like to do, just to have a little laugh. You know, I thought this one was really interesting. How many understand Lent? It's like a 40-day process, you know, right before Easter. And this is what this one said at this one church. Had not planned on giving up quite this much for Lent. Had not plan on giving up this much for Lent. Come on. Some of you had a hard time giving up things for Lent. Well, God said, I'm going to do it for you. You'll be able to give up things, you know, all on your own. Amen. And how about this one? I thought this was funny. Hey, look, parents, you know, we feel your pain. I have three kids at home, and, you know, one of them that I pretty much have been having to, you know, stay up on her schooling all week. If the schools are closed for too long, the parents are going to find a vaccine before the scientists. Come on, parents are going to have this, you know, heavenly creativity come upon them, and they're going to, you know, find the vaccine that we're all looking for. All right? And how about this one? This is for people like Miss Sharon that you just saw. Critical advisory. 8 p.m. is now the official time for all of us to remove our day pajamas and put on our night pajamas. Okay? Very important. And lastly, it's important that we all keep our social distancing. So we're always looking for creative ideas. And for those of you that need to get baptized, this is the method that we've come up with. We're just going to put you isolated in that little cage, and we're going to throw a baseball or a softball, you know, at the target, and we'll just say, you know, in Jesus' name, as you're going down. Hallelujah. No, we're kidding. That's not the way we're going to do it, but I thought it was just a funny meme I found online. All right. Well, I want us to pray before I begin this message. I feel in my heart God's going to bless you as we talk about this, which I've titled, Don't Forget He is on the Boat with You. Don't forget He is on the boat with you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Lord God, Father, that You have exactly what we need. Lord God, You are our inheritance and our reward. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You know our needs. The Word says that even before our words leave our mouth, You already know what we're going to say. And it reaches Your throne, Lord God, Father. So we cry out to You, Lord God, Father. Your Word tells us to not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make all our requests known to You, Lord God. So we thank You, O Father, that You know all of our needs, Lord God, whether they're spiritual, emotional, or whether they're physical, Lord God, Father. You are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh, and we believe in You, Lord God, Father. I love that verse that says, why do the nations rage when God is on the throne, when You have everything under control, Lord God, Father? And I thank You that You're in the boat with us. So Lord God, bless us as we go into this time in the Word, Lord God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And I want to give you one last announcement. Remember that we're going to close the service when the message ends. I am going to pray for those that want to receive salvation. But once we have closed the service officially, we're going to have a time for us to pray. And Elder Jerry and I are going to alternate, you know, just praying for the requests that are coming through the feeds, whether it's on Facebook Live or through the website, going to directly to our prayer requests on our website or YouTube site. You know, anywhere where, you know, we can collect all these prayer requests, we're going to spend a good 30 minutes at least, you know, praying for all those requests. So for those of you that want to stay on to just intercede for us, intercede for the community, intercede for all the people that you know are hurting, you know, please hang on with us. Amen? All right, so here we go. Like I said, I've titled this, Don't Forget He's on the Boat with You. You know, there may be a storm out there, but don't forget. Our main scripture for today is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. So let's begin there. Verse 35, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. How many know we're in the middle of a fierce storm? Hallelujah. And the waves are raging. The word says high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And some of us have faith, but for some of us, even our faith has begun to take in water. It's been punctured a bit. We're starting to feel the effects of the isolation and the lack of that connection and the ways that we were used to, our routines that have been altered. And then it says here in verse 38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. How many know that God is not anxious right now? That God is not fretting about the coronavirus. He's not fretting about the situation. And this is a perfect illustration that God wants to bring you today. Jesus is sleeping on the boat. Not that he doesn't know what's going on, but that he's fully at peace and in full control. Fully at peace and in full control. And it says the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence! Be still!" And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" I know some of you have been attacked by fear. And remember, fear is not just an emotion. There's a spirit behind it. There's a spirit of fear that is attacking you. And God wants to tell you, why are you afraid? Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? He wants you to combat that fear with the faith, with all the promises that God has made, all the prophetic words, all the things that are in the scripture are for you to, you know, feed your spirit with, to strengthen yourself in the Lord. In verse 41, the disciples were absolutely terrified. Not so much about the storm anymore, but about the power of Jesus. And they said, "Who is this man?" That's a question we all need to ask today. Who is this man? If you're watching, you need to ask this question. Who is this man? They asked each other, "Even the wind and waves obey him." Come on, just ask, you know, we've seen this coronavirus just disrupt the whole world. Jesus is going to say at one point, "Silence, it's enough. My full work has been done," and it's going to quiet down just like it came. We're going to see God move powerfully. So it says here that it was a fierce storm that came up and high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And we can honestly say today that this is a worldwide storm. Very few times can we say that there's a storm that reaches every corner of the world. First we watched it from afar, but the waves are starting to beat fiercely against the boat and we're taking in water. Our faith may be shaken at this time. For some it may not, but for some it has. Our perspective has become foggy. It's like we can't see things clearly. Where is God in all this? And you know what? Some just up and jumped out of the boat and lost all sense. Yeah, I don't want to be in this boat anymore. You know, and they started going crazy. You know, some people just panicked in the middle of it, saying, "I'm out of here." But though the Master was the one who called us onto the boat and told us that we would get to the other side, some people are still panicking. We got to remember this. It was Jesus who called us, first of all, into the boat. He had planned 2020 since the foundation of the world. And he said, you know, "I'm going to do a full work." You know, he's doing a work of shaking, you know, of his people. You know, the shaking is not for, you know, necessarily the nation. The shaking is for his people. You know, to break off of us some things so that only the eternal remains. Only that which is worthwhile remains in us. But many of us are calling out to God like the disciples did that day, you know, but we're given into anxiety, fear, and doubt. And our prayers are showing the reality of our faith, that it is fragile. It is weak, you know, and it's okay. God knows. But He wants to strengthen your faith today. I want you to continue to listen here. We're saying to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Or in today's terms, it would be, "Teacher, aren't you watching the news? Teacher, aren't you seeing my frail body? I'm sick on this bed. Aren't you seeing I just lost my source of income? Aren't you seeing I'm going crazy in my home with the kids that you gave me?" You gave me this crazy kids. Hallelujah. Tell someone around you, don't forget he's on the boat with you. Tell someone he's on the boat with you. Hallelujah. Don't forget the nature of the one who's on the boat with you. Don't forget he's the one that called you on it. Don't forget he's going to rebuke the storm any minute now. But then he's going to ask you, why were you afraid? Where's your faith? He wants us to hang on all the way through, everyone. I want to share with you three things for the remainder of this message that are going to encourage you. And for some, it's going to be more than that. It's going to light a fire inside of you. So I want you to listen. Point number one, release what you can't control and focus on what you can control. Today, you need to release what you can't control and you need to focus on what you can't control. In the middle of the storm, we forget who is on the boat with us. It is the Creator of the universe. He can make the storm end, like we said. But some of us are trying to retain control by amassing information. Oh, come on, I got to read up everything I can. I want to watch every news show. I got to go to every, animation that shows, the increase of the virus throughout the world, how every nation's faring, and how many cases there are, how many people, are having it because of social contact, how many because of travel, how many are because, how many people are dying. And very often we don't hear how many people are recuperating, how many people are doing well. All we're hearing is all the bad news. But there's a point when, even searching for best practices about how to best wash our hands, some people are saying drink this, drink that, rest this way, rest that way, do this in the morning, do this at night. And at times we get so much information into us that we start realizing that some of it is at odds with the other. We have conflicting reports of what we should be doing. So I just want to say, hey, sometimes this just becomes counterproductive. So I want to just recommend to you, first of all, let go of the media outlets. A pastor friend of ours, she said, you know what? Go once in the morning, get the latest and greatest, and then get off. The news makes money, if they continue to broadcast. The news used to be at certain times during the day. Now it's 24 hours. And they want you to stay tuned because that's how they make their money too. And so they're going to sensationalize. There is an agenda. So you got to be careful what we're intaking. So just let go of the media outlets, okay? Now, think about this. Is for those of us control freaks, if some of us were on the boat with Jesus, we would try to control the situation. Come on, where are my control freaks? All right. OCS guys. Peter would be like, all right, let me have the rudder. I'm going to steer this thing. I got this. Because you are running us aground. I got it. And there's many politicians that are trying to grab the rudder right now, aren't they? Those people think they can control the situation and think that they have it figured out. Well, they don't. God is on the throne. But you need to know that Jesus is the one that controls all things. And some of us go a little step further. Some of us are like, you know what? Let's measure the winds on this storm. Okay? Get the anemometer out and let's see the strength of this winds. And some are like, okay, get the well bulb, get the temperature sensor, and let's see where the temperatures are. Let's compare the dew point to the temperature and see how much precipitation we're going to have. Right? And some of us, all right, get all the historical data, on all the winds, for this time of the year, for the month of March, and let's compare it to see how bad the storm is going to be. You know what? Sometimes it's too much overload of information. Just got to let go. You don't need to know everything about everything. You don't need to become a PhD in COVID-19 by the time this is all said and done. You just need to give it to the master. Release what you can't control and focus on what you can control today. Hallelujah. You can't control what happens on the news or what the government or other nations are doing. You can't control when it's going to end. Not even Jesus says the word knows the day nor the hour of the rapture. Even Jesus saying, Father's got it. I'm just going to release it to Him. Let's leave it up to the Father. So just say, release. Tell someone next to you, release. Let's instead focus on what we can control. Focus on what you can't. Like I said, control your news intake. You can control your times with the Lord. You can wash your hands, right? good sanitary practices, follow all the governmental guidelines as best as you can, and just make the best of it. You can control what happens. You know, you choose your attitude. And remember, 90% of everything we do is attitude. The other 10% is what happens. So you have a choice in all this. Control what you can. Let go of the rest. Don't forget who is in the boat with you. He's not watching from the shore and cheering you on. Great job, guys. I'll see you later. No, He's right there in the boat with you. You know, the Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses up there, you know, somewhere. But Jesus is right there with you on the boat. And if He's in the boat, if He's in your midst, if He's in your home, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He has a plan for you. And He's using every bit of this in your favor. He's shaking, like we said, everything that must be shaken off of you and His church. He is preparing us, listen, for the worldwide harvest that has been prophesied. He is getting us ready. Come on, He's breaking off of us, the American church especially, like I said last week, you know, we're just a little entitled sometimes. We have a lot of things too easy in our midst. So God is getting us ready for war. He's getting us ready for the harvest. Amen? But many of us Americans have not been exercising our faith. So He's putting us through a forced tough mudder. Ever heard of a tough mudder? You say, hey, this is a forced one. You got to get in there. You know, you don't have a choice. It's an obstacle course, and He's going to take you to your limits, and it's okay. Because when we go to our limits is when we look up to heaven and say, God, I thought I had control, but I don't. I want to release control to You, for me and my family. You need to know that He's in the midst of you. And be also very practical. You know what else you can control? Your budget. So I want to speak a little bit, you know, to those people that are going through hard times financially before we get going. You know, and if you've been laid off, you know, you can say, hey, my sources of income are drying out. It is very stressful for me and my family. And you can't control what happens outside of what you can do. So I just want to recommend that you listen to Dave Ramsey, A Message of Hope. Go to DaveRamsey.com and listen to this message. He's going to give you some very practical things about what you can do. And I'm going to give you a quick summary of what he said on this message. I believe this came out on Thursday or Friday. He's going to encourage you in the area of finances. You know what? This guy knows what he's talking about. He was bankrupt before. He's gone through many financial crises. And God has given him a special revelation on how to handle personal and family finances. So if you get into debt or you begin to reach into your reserve fund, and this is beginning to bring stress to it, he says that you need to focus on what he calls the four walls. The four walls. What are the four walls? Food, utilities, shelter, and transportation. Food, utilities, shelter, and transportation. Okay, this is what he says, and I'm going to quote. When you're up to your eyeballs in debt, it's easy to panic. You may even be getting calls from creditors. Final notices in the mail, and your electric company saying they'll be shutting off your electricity any day, even though the government at this time has said that electric bills will not be, you know, will not cause the electricity to be shut off. So you don't have to worry about that one. But let's say it were later on. He says, first things first, worry about food. Make that your priority. Of course, keep being a giver, you know, exercise your faith, but take care of your food. You want to make sure your family has food in their bellies. Next, keep the lights on, your water running, and the roof over your head. If you have to make a choice between, you know, getting that Netflix subscription, even though right now everybody thinks, hey, I'm living off of Netflix, you want to choose, you know, those basic utilities, all right? And last, make sure that you have a way to get to work. If you live in a big city, public transportation might be a great option. That will not only get you to and from work, but also save you money. If that's not an option, make sure you're driving a car that you own. A junker car can get you to and from work just like a Lexus can. All right? End quote. So he's saying, hey, take care of these four things. Food, utilities, your shelter, transportation. Make sure the things that are on you, if you need clothes, if you need the heat in your home, you need the AC, whatever you're experiencing. Take care of things first. And if it comes down to it, you may need to say, you know what, credit card, I can't pay you right now. Or, hey, other creditor that I owe money to, I'm going to need to say no right now. You can call them, and they'll be more than happy to work with you. They don't want to lose your business. So, you know, just be safe. So anyway, I just give you four things. Go to DaveRamsey.com. Get the rest of it from Dave Ramsey. So once again, these are practical things. Control what you can and release what you can't. And then rest and relax. You need to get rest. Don't stay up too late. Have a routine. Get up roughly around the same time. Go to bed around the same time. You know, just because you can watch, binge watch all that you can, you know, I would suggest don't do that. Be careful how you're managing your time. You know, keep the routine. Some of you have learned to tap into the control that you have in the spirit, though, and I want to talk about this. You may not have a control, let's say, what your job does, but I know some of you know how to exercise the authority that is given you in the Spirit. And I'm calling out the prayer warriors. You know, go and make bold declaration. Stand in the face of adversity and just release God's blessing. Release angels over the whole situation. Release, you know, favor over our government. Release favor over our community. Bless our mayor. Bless our state government, our national government, and the world entities, the CDC, the Arizona Health Department, all the people, you know, that are trying to work through this, you know, but release blessing, and then you can bind the enemy, bind the lies, bind fear, bind doubt, bind disease, bind all the things, because God has given you authority. That's one thing you can control. If anybody knows how to move in the spirit, you know, do spiritual warfare, and that's one way you can control the situation. Amen. Fight the good fight for those that are not skilled at it. Some people that just don't know how to do that. Fight for those little ones in the faith. Right? Samuel, the prophet, said, it would be counted a sin to me if I don't pray for the people. Why? Because he was a skilled warrior. He knew how to touch God's heart. Go straight to the throne room and make bold declarations. Come on. Control what you can control. Release what you can't. And then rest and relax. Point number two. Just have a childlike faith. Oh, come on. We're trying to figure everything out. You just need to have a childlike faith. Look what it says in Mark 10, verses 15 and 16. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Don't make it too sophisticated. Then it says, verse 16, then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. If you will be like a child to Abba, your daddy, he's going to put you in his lap and he's going to love you. You know, and when you're in Abba's lap, believe me, there's nothing wrong in the world. Everything's just all right. And as I was crying out yesterday in preparation, and I began to run through my laundry list of prayer requests, I felt like I just said, shh. I want to quiet the storm inside of you. There's a storm out there, but there's a storm inside of you, which is worse. Shh. You need to be like a child, Eric. And just believe that I'm going to take care of everything. You don't need to figure out the details. We don't need to be telling God how He's going to fix it. You know, some of us tell Him step by step how to answer your prayer. You know, don't do that. He's got infinite creativity and His timing is always perfect. Just release it. God is saying, you don't need to tell me how to fix it. I'm your Father and I know what you need and I have a better plan for you. Be like a child and just rest in Abba's arms, in Daddy's arms. So God reminded me of the simplicity of a child's faith. Like I said, we overcomplicate things. We run through all the scenarios. Come on, man. We do that, right? We have peace once we've run through all the scenarios and we find the scenario that answers the call. The ones that figures the problem out. But God, like I said, is going to take us to our limits. So He's saying, just release. Come on. And be like a child. You know, children know how to, you know, trust in their parents, don't they? God is going to answer sooner than later, I believe, you know, our prayers about this virus. You know, and let me go back to what I said earlier. I'm not saying don't add knowledge because 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 tells us, it says to add to our faith goodness and to our goodness knowledge. But then it says to add to your knowledge, what does it say? Self-control. And some of us lose self-control when it comes to knowledge. We're just devouring the media. Be careful with that. Just have a childlike faith. Let's be measured and wise. You know, a child just simply believes what his father says, what our God says. We just believe it. And let me tell you, God speaks to our children all the time as parents, doesn't He? And I want to tell you that there's no better representation of this than my daughter Bella. She just blesses me when it comes to believing Daddy. All that matters to her is that if Daddy said he's going to do it, it's a done deal. And by the way, I understand that I'm a representation of the Father, you know, to my children. So whenever I make a promise, I go out of my way to fulfill that promise. So my child knows, Bella knows, that if I said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You just got to wait. So recently, my daughter Alexandra decided she wanted, for her birthday, a family trip to the Great Wolf Lodge. And she was hounding me about it. She was crying out to me, right? That was her prayer request to me. You know, oh, I want to go to Great Wolf Lodge. I want to go to the Great Wolf Lodge and just stay there. And by the way, I get no royalties from the Great Wolf Lodge. You know, they're not going to pay me anything for this commercial. But she stayed on me until Daddy delivered. I went online and I secured, you know, 3 days, 2 nights at the Great Wolf Lodge in Scottsdale. You know, we have it set for April. We're still trusting God that we're going to do it. But you know what? The moment that I said it's a done deal, they saw the confirmation. They rejoiced. Hallelujah. And you know what my daughter Bella did? She went and began packing. And she's done that every time we're going on a trip. It could be a week away, a month away, 2 months away. Her bag is packed. As a matter of fact, for Christmas, she asked for a piece of luggage. She got a piece of luggage, a carry-on luggage, you know, for Christmas. You know what? That thing is already filled with stuff. She has her clothes, she has her toys, she has, you know, books, her makeup. Of course, she loves kids' makeup, right? But that, I've said that just to illustrate that the moment that I said it was going to happen, and let me tell you, when you pray, Abba is going to say into your heart, I've received your prayer. It's a done deal. Just wait for it. It's coming. It's coming. Then you just need to rejoice and relax. You just need to have a childlike faith. Remember, it says we cannot enter the kingdom unless we come at it like a child. Just believe the Father. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't need to be sophisticated and try to figure everything out. Come on. The gospel is for everyone. You know, there's people that are mighty in God and don't have access to computers. You don't need a PhD to be mighty in God. You just need to believe what Daddy Abba says. Amen. Matthew 7:11. Let's go to 7:11, everyone. 7:11. So if you simple people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Just ask Him, and then trust Him. If there's a similar prayer request in the Bible, and He's answered it, you can say, hey, I take hold of that promise. That's for me. It's a done deal. Amen? So this is how faith operates. You know, your daddy's going to take care of you. You don't know how, but you can control what you can, and you release the rest to Daddy. Just like Bella, you know, be packed up because you know it's happened. We don't need to act like the coronavirus is going to go on for years. Come on. You just need to start living like it's going to be done in a month. Hallelujah. You need to have that perspective of the future. Well, point number three, my last point. Don't lose sight of the other side. Don't lose sight of the other side. Mark 4:35, I go back to the initial scripture, the first verse. As evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. What did He say to you, I ask you? What has He said to you? What has He said to you through the Scriptures and into your heart? That Rhema word of revelation, did you forget what He said to you? He said to me many things about 2020. He didn't tell me about the virus before it happened. But the things that He said to me that were going to happen this year, those are going to come through. Because He's the one that God is in the boat. He said, my church, I need you to get on this boat. And there's going to be a storm of the COVID-19 around you. I'm going to just rest. But you know what? From the beginning, I said, let's go to the other side. We're going to get to the other side in just a minute. Hallelujah. We're listening to the prophets. We're listening, you know, to Scripture. And every single time there was plagues, there was always a deliverance. When people cried out, in every place in Scripture, when people cried out to the Lord, when they humbled themselves before God, God answered and brought swift, you know, restoration to the people. Did he not say in Matthew 28, I am with you always? I am with you always until the end of the world. In the Psalms, did he not say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Did he not say, Jesus saying it, my peace I live with you, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away? Did he not say in John 14, don't let your heart be troubled, trust in God, but trust also in me? Didn't he also say, there's more than enough room in my Father's house for you, and I go to prepare a place for you? Come on. He went to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, let me say that again. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, don't forget He's still in the boat with you. And He's going to walk this out with you until you're called home. Hallelujah. And you know what? And dying, leaving this world, is not the worst thing that could happen. It's actually the best thing that could happen to you, because heaven is better than anything you will ever, ever experience in this world. Hallelujah. And He's up there preparing a mansion for you. He has promised it, and it's a done deal. But He's not going to call you home, listen, until He finishes with you. He's still molding the character of Christ in you, and He's still preparing you for a worldwide harvest. God is shaking things off of you today. I want you to count it all joy, even though you've entered into diverse trials and tribulations, because the trial of your faith produces the patience, the endurance, the perseverance. Come on. For what God is going to call us to run. He's making us fit to run this race. But the Word says, but let patience have its full work in you. Let patience have its full work in you. Come on. When you're waiting at your house and you can't go out, you can't go here, you can't go there. He's building patience to you. Instead of just sitting there brooding, why don't you seek God? Why don't you pray in the Spirit? Why don't you worship Him? Why don't you put some music? Hallelujah. He's the miracle worker. He's the way maker. Hallelujah. He's the one that's going to get you to the other side. Hallelujah. You know, all the dreams that He's put inside of you, He's going to carry them out. He's going to carry them out. Hallelujah. You know, He's in the boat with us today. And I'm so proud of Shiloh. But let me just say this. God gets us ready for anything. He will never call you into a storm that He didn't prepare you for. Hallelujah. Because He's right there with you. You know, did you know that a year ago we didn't have live streaming? And because of our baby, we wanted to make sure that my wife could get the services where she was at. So we began to do live streaming with a simple phone and a tripod from the front. And then it just developed into something else. And you know what else developed over the last year? Our connection groups have just been built up and they have grown. And now we have 16 connection groups, you know, that are meeting. And what that has done is created, you know, small communities within the church where people are encouraging one another, like it says in Hebrews 10, to love and to good works. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God prepared us for this hour? This is the church's finest hour. This is why He has called us. This is not a mistake. This is not an aberration. This is something that God is allowing. But God is saying, I'm with you in the boat and I'm going to take you to the other side. But in the midst of it, I'm going to do something in you. He's saying, do not be worried. Do not be terrified. Where is your faith? Just hold on tight, because I am in the boat with you. This is going to pass. Don't lose sight of the other side. Don't lose sight of the other side. And I want to finish with this. I have one last question that we saw in verse 41. But that all of us must answer. Everyone has already answered at one point in time. It says, who is this man? They asked each other. Who is this man? And I believe it is time that you answer this. Because if Jesus is just a prophet, is just a religious man, is just a historical figure, that is not going to be good enough. Because only Jesus can cause the wind and the storms to obey Him and to cease instantly. So you need to call on the man God, Jesus Christ Himself, the one that died on the cross for all your sin. He paid for all your sicknesses. He paid for all your pain, for all your worries. The Bible says that a crown of thorns was placed on His head and it pierced His head. And even though your head has been pierced with worries and anxiety, there's emotional exhaustion, God is saying, I took that pain for you that you can have peace in your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He was pierced in His heart, you know, and it exploded with blood and water. He actually literally died of a broken heart. And He had a broken heart so you could have life today. So if your heart is broken, it's weighing heavy because of all that is going on, this is the day for you to reach out to Jesus. This is the day for you to reach out to Jesus. And He is waiting on you. Oh, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, you know, will be saved. By no means will He cast them out, those that call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that He came to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Not for the righteous, for the unrighteous. So no matter what you've done, but you've blown up, you've been mad at your wife, you've been mad at your husband, you've blown up at your kids, you know, you've been posting things in anger and anxiety, God is saying, humble yourself before Me, and I will restore you. I will forgive you, and I will give you eternal life. Come drink from Me. Come drink from Me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, come to Me, all those that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. And come on, as you begin to surrender your life to Jesus, you're going to feel the burden just come off of your shoulders. You don't have to have the weight of the world. You don't have to control all things. You can just release yourself to Him today. So I invite you today to answer this question, who is this man? And for those of you that are ready to receive Jesus and to surrender, hallelujah, He's made this storm just for you. So you'd have this opportunity to call on Him today. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer after me. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, it says you will be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Come on, you just need to believe what I've said and confess Jesus as your Lord. And tell someone after this. Reach out to someone and say, hey, today I was listening to a broadcast, a live stream, and I gave my life to Jesus. So let's pray this together. Everyone bow your heads and repeat after me. Father, I come before You today and I humble myself before You. I realize that I need You. I'm in the middle of a storm. Yes, there's a storm out there, but there's also a storm inside of me that needs to be stilled. And I believe that You are the God that created the world. So I surrender my life to You today. I ask You, You forgive me. I don't want to live this way anymore. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. So take my life now, God. I give it to You freely. It is not my own, but Yours. I ask You, Lord God, to fill me now with Your Holy Spirit and to make me Your own. Help me to live for You. Fill me with the peace that You promised. Fill me with the joy that You promised. Fill me with the faith that You promised. And I ask You this in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word says in John chapter 1 that He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But then it says, but to all who receive them, He gave them the power to become the children of God. He gave them the power to become the children of God. Amen. If you receive Jesus today, I just want to rejoice with you. The Bible says that anytime a sinner repents, there's a party in heaven and the angels rejoice. And the Father's heart is blessed because you have honored, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus. So I bless you today. Amen.